It's the Score North Twin Show.
All right, Score North, extra innings from Target Field. Declan Goff here. I'm joined with my buddy Ross Brendel. Is Lainey Liu roaming around? Ross's cat.
She was here. She has taken off through the door. More than likely, she'll be back at some point.
Okay, can Lainey Liu step into the box and drive in a runner with scoring positions? Is that at all plausible? I'm asking for a friend. In fact, I'm asking for about 13 position players at the local ballpark.
I can tell you, I can still live with swinging and striking out. It's the looking that drives me crazy, and I can promise you, my feline friend, Lainey Liu Brendel, at 15 years and now 8 months, she will go down swinging.
She'll gladly take a bat, and she's going to go down swinging at the very least. I like it, Ross. Yeah, I mean, Twins fall today 3-1. Bats remain silent. It was actually hilarious, Ross. So two hits today, and Correa got one in the ninth there at the end. But funny enough, Alex Kirilloff's reached early in the game that ended up driving in one of the runs, and his error was actually changed two innings later. So technically, going into the ninth inning, if that Kirilloff hit was not changed, the Twins would have been technically no-hit today. The Guardians would have had a chance at a no-hitter today. And that is also, this is where baseball blows my mind. The Twins were 0-for-11 with runners in scoring position today. And again, what did I just say? They had two hits. They had one hit going into the ninth, and they had 11 shots at runners in scoring position. They're now 0-for-23 with runners in scoring position today. A brutal day with the bats, Ross. Look, there's two ways to look at it. I know Lainey Liu said she'll go up there swinging, which is great. I love Lainey Liu if she can get anything going here. I'll start a cat batting fourth at this point. But I will also say they're getting people on base, and you'd like to maybe think, maybe this is the Minnesotan, there's two Minnesotan ways to look at this. It's they'll fire everyone because they can't drive in a run, or it's, well, they're getting guys on base, and they just, eventually the seal's going to break and the dam's going to break. They're going to be able to drive in runs. But so far, the majority big takeaway from the season isn't pitching related. It's the fact they can't drive in a run.
Well, and you don't necessarily want to overreact to what is now amounts to just over 4% of the season. But the one thing that I think you can react to, and I think it's very fair, is what we've seen through seven games so far, which, albeit still a very small sample size, this looks an awful lot like the Minnesota Twins did pre-All-Star break last year in 2023. And basically until what? August and September, when they really started hitting and cut down on the strikeouts, albeit they didn't cut down a ton. They just scaled it back to, what, 8 to 10 a game versus 13 to 15. I think the Twins have struck out 29 times so far in these two games. And the ones to me, Declan, well, first off, let me go back to the runners and scoring position thing. That is classic baseball. But also on a day where, and I'm not going to make excuses, I even tweeted during the game, it's the home plate umpire was bad for both teams. But the strike zone today was Russian roulette. You just didn't know what was going to be a strike or what wasn't. And to wind up with that many opportunities is kind of incredible. But to me, the ones that can't happen, you have Julian working a count, striking out on a fastball right down the middle in the fifth inning. That can't happen. You have Castro strike out in the ninth. That's just nothing you want to see. And then Jeffers strike out. I get it. I said, look, I'd rather have guys go down swinging. And at least he was swinging. But again, he had a 3-1 count. Just do something. At that point in the game, put the ball in play. And then, Declan, I don't want to get too far away from the hitting, but I do want to get your opinion on the contact play. I am so sick and tired of running on contact early in the game in Major League Baseball. Declan, these guys are going to make the play 98-99% of the time. And then again with Kirilloff, we're going to send a guy home who has an injury history who then dives in head first. If I was Kirilloff, I would have just stopped and let them tag me out 15 feet shy. The contact play, Major League Baseball, it's got to go. It drives me up the wall. It's not just a Twins thing. It's a Major League Baseball thing. But they're going to make that play almost all the time, Declan. You're more surprised when they don't make the play.
Right. Yeah, it was interesting. So I was able to catch up with Rocco Baldelli and Joe Ryan in the post-game scrum. I rushed back up here to talk to you and get the Twins fans some notes from the clubhouse. And I found it interesting that Rocco talked a lot about today in the post-game. And this is actually true, judging by the fact that they've had so many opportunities. their guys by default are going to get on base. That has been clear. They have 22 chances in two games with runners in scoring position alone. So by default, these Twins hitters aren't just whiffing and aren't getting on base and just it's a pitiful bunch from top to bottom. And certainly there are guys that are underachieving, and we could talk about that. But in general, he is correct that they're doing a really good job at getting on base. And now you have to kind of figure things out. So when Julian again strikes out looking, that can't happen. To your point about Jeffers, there's a runner on. That can't happen. There's really two guys, I think, obviously in Carlos Correa and Alex Kirilloff, who have kind of lived up and are certainly exceeding expectations, or at least living up to potential maybe. And then the rest of the seven guys, I mean, it's been a mixed bag of either completely ineffectiveness or just lack of a clutch gene. And I don't want to say, and I got a couple notes about this on Twitter, when's the first players-only meeting going to happen with the Minnesota Twins? I will say, I mean, the clubhouse was wide open right after the game today. I didn't step foot in it. There was access to it today. If there's another 0-for-10 runners in scoring position type of affair that could happen tomorrow, I think we're probably talking about, or maybe our first players-only meeting between, you know, Correa leading the charge and whatnot. But you're right. Eventually, the seal's going to break, and you'd like to think that they have to change up their philosophy. But again, if you're changing up your entire philosophy and you're still striking out 15, 14 times respectively, which they've done in the last two games, that's going to make life awfully tough to try to score runs.
Well, and Declan, again, super early, but as we record this, you're now... Sorry, Kat tried to take the headphones from me. You are three games out of first place. Again, not the end of the world. Still technically, what, the first week of the season, if you want to count seven games as the first week of the season. But it doesn't get any easier. Allegedly, another day game tomorrow, weather pending.
Yeah, we'll see.
The Twins' day game record over the last 4 or 5 years has been heavily chronicled. You and I have talked about it in the office, and I think we might even talk about it here in this extra innings. But then the Dodgers come to town, right? I mean, logically, even though I think we still all expect the Twins will compete for the American League Central, logically, when you see a team like the Dodgers come to town, you'd like to think the Minnesota Twins are the home team. Let's win 2 out of 3. Let's win the series. But doesn't your heart and gut kind of tell you, let's just make sure we don't get swept? But if you get swept by the Guardians, then you only win 1 out of 2 against the Dodgers. That puts you at what, Declan? Quick Lakeville High School math, that puts you at 5-7 already? 5-8? I don't even know where that will put you. Somebody can correct me on the math. But eventually, to Rocco's point, you know, Rocco mentioned it to you guys in the media scrum. You know, at some point, we got to figure this out. And did he happen to today, Declan? I know I caught it on Bally Sports. You don't always hear all of it. It's so early. It's a small sample size. But if they talked at all about the day game routine where they have basically now said we're going to do, I don't think they're forcing guys to take batting practice, but now you can take batting practice. Well, the early returns on the new day game routine, Declan, not good.
Yeah.
looks an awful lot like last year.
And baseball, as anyone knows who follows it or watch it, it's such a game of routine, and it's such a game of getting
yes.
in a habit and getting into a situation where you're comfortable with, and they're implementing this new plan. I don't think, knock on wood, I don't think they'll bail on it quite yet, but they made an above and beyond effort to try to fix up going to BP early, getting to the ballpark early, going into a routine instead of just having a very lax, daisical approach that kind of Rocco embodies, which, you know, to be honest, it's worked for the Twins for the majority of his tenure here. But I do wonder, to your point, that eventually something else has to flip because it's baseball and it's such routine-oriented that you're going to have to flip something up. And, you know, so far the Twins with runners in scoring position this season, their OPS is only second worst in the American League to the Chicago White Sox, who are on track to be one of the worst assembled baseball teams in the last 20 years. So right now at 463 OPS for the Twins offense with runners in scoring position alone, they have just 9 hits and 72 at-bats. This is not just a small sample. I mean, yes, we're in a small sample size from a season. 72 at-bats, that's an awful lot. If I sort by just at-bat on MLB.com, as I'm doing right now, that's the third most amount of at-bats with runners in scoring position. And funny enough, the two teams that have had more at-bats with runners in scoring position this year are the Guardians and the Rangers, who have had prolific offenses to start. So I'm not ready to panic quite yet, but man, at the end of the day, you got to drive in a GD run, dude. I mean, that's... Going 0-for-9, 0-for-10 with runners in scoring position and somehow mustering 2 hits is one of the most impressive feats I have ever seen. on just a box score.
And I don't know if you saw this, Declan, but did you see the Twins right now last in the American League in home runs with just 3 home runs on the season?
Yeah.
And you know what? If you're only going to have 3 home runs, but you're getting on base, you're getting doubles, you're driving in guys, you're manufacturing runs, that's one thing. But when this team is striking out, again, 29 times in 2 games, and Declan, it's not even just strikeouts. Some of these at-bats just really aren't all that competitive. And I think that's the frustrating part for fans when they're watching the game. And then you see it guy after guy after guy. Well, if hitting's contagious, Declan, well, then so is not hitting. You know, they always say pitching's contagious. Well, so is hitting. If one guy with bases loaded and one out puts a single up the middle, sometimes that makes it easier on the next guy. And I think it seems we're getting to the point where it's almost just as simple as a guy that's not Carlos Correa needs to come up with a big hit. Even yeah. Byron Buxton struggling mightily at this point. Yeah. If one of those guys can come up with a hit, maybe that starts to spur everybody else a little bit or just lightens everybody up. We know this lineup can hit. Everybody knows they can, especially when you go back and you look at what they did the back half of last season to eventually pull away and win the American League Central. I think everybody knows they can hit, but somebody needs to start that, and it can't just be Carlos Correa. And newsflash, Declan, it's not going to be Royce Lewis anytime soon. Probably not till the weather is a lot warmer. So don't be counting on him anytime soon to come back and jumpstart your lineup. It has to be the guys that are here, and I think eventually it will. But man, you just don't love what you're seeing early. Like I said, it just reminds me so much of last year. Where I'll be honest, Declan, this organization and this team drove me crazy last year.
Oh, I know they did.
The first 3-4
You wouldn't believe it until they clinched the division. I remember I'm not believing it until that division title is clinched.
It's just it's an unwatchable brand of baseball. It is their plate approach and what they do offensively is an unwatchable brand of baseball when they're striking out this much. And the crazy part is, if you look at these guys, they shouldn't strike out this much.
Yeah.
So what has to change? And again, I know we're only 7 games into the year. They're not going to fire David Popkins after 7 games.
Got thrown out today.
Who got ejected today.
Yeah.
And you know what? I get it. So be it. It was bad, but I always love that. That's not really going to change anything. More often than not, it doesn't change anything. But I don't want to say I'm at a loss for words, again, because it's so easy, maybe, or so early. Maybe it's just extended spring training. But the reality is the teams that you're playing, they're going through the same things you are, and
absolutely,
they're hitting better. So we'll see where it goes from here.
All right, we got that negativity out a little bit, rightfully so. It'll probably be a festering conversation on a lot of these extra innings on the Score North Twin Show. By the way, hit the subscribe button right here on the Score North YouTube channel. This is Extra Innings. My name is Declan Goff. You're joined with Ross Brendel right now. You'll see a roving cast of characters from Score North. I am live from the ballpark. That's what all that commotion is behind me. I think they're cleaning up all the golden lights and whatnot that have been spilled across the Legends Club. So if you hear any ballpark ambient sounds and you're wishing for cracks in the back, I wish I could hear some cracks of the bat today. That is unfortunately not the case. I do want to spin things actually on the positive side. So Joe Ryan actually did spin a gem today. He made one bad pitch that ends up as a 3-run home run that results in the entire offense for the Cleveland Guardians today. I was able to talk to Joe and I was able to talk to Rocco both about what's been different, because I don't know if anyone else has noticed, but his velocity on his off-speed stuff has actually picked up significantly from year to year. And I was able to ask Rocco, who said that he does look like a completely new pitcher and there's a new gear to him, which is great. And then I asked Joe Ryan the similar question of where does this come from? Does this come from mechanics? Does this come from working out? How does this come to be? And he actually gave me this phenomenal answer. There happened to be a baseball at the podium, and this dude goes into like this entire XYZ gripping and the entire reasoning of why his splitter has been effective and all these off-speed pitches have been effective. I'll actually tweet it out later on the Score North accounts for people to kind of see his answer. He goes into detail. But I will say, you know, you get a guy like Joe Ryan and Pablo Lopez, who I know struggled a little bit on Thursday. Those 1-2 options, having stoppers at the top of the rotation, that has been the positive here. I know Pablo had a little bit of a sour day on opening day, but I will say it looks like Joe Ryan, I know one bad pitch resulted in the loss today, in general, looks like he is finally maybe taking a significant step forward to maybe be a complimentary piece to Pablo Lopez at the top of the rotation.
Well, and if your starter's going to give you six innings and give up three runs, you'd like to think you're going to win most of those games. And I think we all know with the Minnesota Twins not going out, at least to this point, maybe they will at the trade deadline as the season plays out, acquiring another frontline starter or premier arm, the Twins are going to go as far as Pablo Lopez and Joe Ryan take them. Because I would say at this point, Declan, you would still say there's uncertainty in the back half of the rotation. Bailey Ober, I think they're hoping he takes the next step. It's been rough for him early on and in spring training, but maybe he'll turn things around tomorrow, again, weather pending, or maybe that'll be early next week. But then you have Louis Varland, who's going to be tested over the course of a season for the first time. Chris Paddock, you'd like to think, is going to be fine, but I mean, I don't know about you, Declan, every time he goes out there, I'm just hoping the arm stays intact. And I don't even say that facetiously. We all know I like to joke, or people that know me, but there's an issue there. And I think the Twins' mathematics, when they were thinking, how does this play out if we don't acquire somebody, I think Derek Falvey, Thad Levine, and the organization is saying, logically, we think Joe will take the next step, and we believe he will take the next step. And I think out of the gate through two starts, you're seeing that. I think the Twins are obviously hopeful it will continue. Twins fans are hopeful it will continue. He's just a fun guy, Declan, even what you talked about. He's a guy that you want to cheer for. You want to see him take the ball every 5 days and be a bulldog. And I go back to just how he got here. You know, you can poke fun at a lot of the trades that the Twins have made, acquiring damaged goods. This was one that heavily is in the favor of Derek Falvey and Thad Levine. You gave up 2 months of Nelson Cruz, a player you more than likely weren't going to bring back, and then you didn't in free agency. And you got a guy who hopefully is going to push 200 innings and take the ball every 5 days and be an effective starter for you. But if Pablo Lopez is as good as we all think he is, and Joe Ryan stays the same or takes that next step, the Twins are going to be fine if they start hitting the baseball a little bit. And I do think we all believe they will at some point.
And look, I know there's been a lot of talk about them, you know, not addressing their starting rotation. They obviously bring in Di Sclafani, and he ends up having arm surgery. And Chris Paddock, you know, had mixed results in his first start. Louis Varland, we'll see, to your point about Ober, who's scheduled to start today. I think it's going to be very, very probably a coin flip if this game gets in tomorrow. And I completely forgot that because of the new schedule change, which actually I'm a big fan of in baseball, Cleveland does not come back to Target Field until late August. So if they want to push this game out, I mean, there is an off day before that Guardians series, I believe, begins in August. They could make a doubleheader. They could remove that off day. That is all plausible. Tomorrow's game, we'll kind of wait and see. To your grand point, though, having two stoppers at the top, big time, and then if the Twins' bats start to wake up a little bit, you'd like to think that eventually the bats will come around and then you have a really good ball club.
How do you feel, Declan? Again, it's been interesting because they've had plenty of opportunities to score runs, but how do you feel about them maybe as early as tomorrow, or maybe it's not till they play the Dodgers, doing some more things to try and manufacture runs? Yeah, and I know that's probably not going to be the makeup of this team, but how beneficial would it be for this team to score a few runs early? And when I say manufacture runs, Declan, that is independent of the contact play. Throw that out. I'm talking about running the bases, maybe dropping a bunt down here or there, not Margot with the bases loaded and two outs when he's pinch hitting either. But are there things they can do there to maybe jumpstart the offense? Or is it just literally as simple as these guys have to go in, they have to take their at-bats, they have to put their work in, and eventually it will turn around? I'm just wondering, from a David Popkins, Rocco Baldelli standpoint, are there things that they can do more than just running out the lineup every day and hoping that it'll start to figure itself out?
So, to Rocco's point about this team being able to really work counts and get on base and draw walks, that's all gravy and that's all good. But I think where they're going to have to maybe spend some time in the cage, spend some time in these day games, spend some time improving, is hitting off-speed pitching. And I know that's also, it's just easy to say, just be able to hit a slider when all these guys have crazy movement and vertical break and all this stuff left and right. But they have to probably do significant work to hit breaking balls, because they know this team is fastball hunting. They know Byron Buxton honestly, even with a promising health start to his season, still can't hit a breaking ball, and he's swinging with the ball already in the catcher's glove before, and he's walking already off the field because he already knows he swung and missed at it. So I think they have to kind of change their approach on some off-speed pitching. Again, easier said than done. Thank God I'm not David Popkins. I don't want to be David Popkins right now. And thank God that even I'm not good enough as a baseball player to try to figure that out. But I will say, if they can start figuring out how to hit off-speed pitching, and I know that is just, that's not just a black and white flip a switch and make things a lot easier for your offense. If they start doing that, Ross, I do think this team can start turning things around. And when you do go 0-for-22, and I know fans do not want to hear it, but eventually those hits do start piling in a little bit. Floodgates start to open. You will not go, man, knock on wood here, write that down. You will not go 0-for-44 with runners in scoring position over the next two games. It just won't happen. That's baseball.
It's also a team that, again, wants to hit the home run. When you look up and down the lineup, it's a team that can hit home runs. Virtually everybody, even Willie Castro, has popped. We saw it last year. But you can't pull everything. And that's where it goes back to your point about hitting the off-speed stuff. Sometimes you need to go with the pitch. Sometimes you need to dump it over your right-handed batter. Sometimes you need to dump it over the first baseman's head and down the line. Those are the things that I want to start seeing. Heck, Correa's at bat in the ninth inning, probably one of the better at-bats of the game, just took a pitch right back up the middle and hit it hard. Now, the bad part was, after he got on base, you started to think, well, who's capable of coming up with another big hit or two at this point? But I think it does help to have guys in the locker room like Carlos Correa, that veteran leadership that just says, guys, it's 7 games, we're 3-4, we're not buried. I think for all baseball teams, Declan, this is not just the Minnesota Twins, and sometimes the division doesn't help you, but my goal for the Twins every year, you don't need to be leading the division at the end of April.
Yep.
You can't win a division in April, but you can certainly lose it.
Yeah.
Just survive April. Can you get out of April somewhere around 500 and within shouting distance of first place? To me, that's all that really matters. And at this point, that is still incredibly obtainable for this team. But again, with each passing day, if you're not hitting, that starts to look a little bit more difficult.
All right, last thing on this Score North Extra Innings show. Again, hit that subscribe button for Minnesota Twins content right here. This is a new channel. We've been able to launch it in a month. We have over 2,000 subscribers, which is mind-blowing to me. So
awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. So hit that subscribe and hit the like button on the video. It helps kind of spread the word about this podcast. I have one last note for you, Ross, and I think this is going to blow your mind, and maybe you saw my tweet about it. I am going to do my absolute best to put on my journalistic hat and figure out why. So some Twins players have multiple walk-up songs. They like it literally shows now on the video board, what is your walk-up song? And sometimes just have one, some guys have two. Today, Carlos Correa walked up to Bon Jovi. And I have never been more surprised in my entire life. And I really want to know why Carlos Correa likes Bon Jovi. I'm not knocking Bon Jovi. I would love to hear out of the horse's mouth what decided for C4, one of the most prolific World Series hitters of all time, and one of the leaders of this team, to say, you know what, Bon Jovi, that's what's going to spark my at-bat here. I really want to know what's going on in that brain there.
And I did see the tweet, maybe you just said it, but I'm assuming it's You Give Love a Bad Name.
Yes, it is. Yep.
I mean, it would be more acceptable if it was bad medicine. You know, your love is like bad medicine. Bad medicine is what I need. Some people would say the Twins lineup right now looks like bad medicine. You know, that is a little interesting. Have you ever put any real thought into what you would have for a walk-up song?
Oh, yeah.
Mine would be cliched. It would be something from Green Day. I don't know what it would be, but it would be something from Green Day.
So, I mean, I could talk about this with you, Ross, for hours. And we talked about it with Trevor Plouffe on Tuesdays, which Trevor joins us, former Minnesota Twins player, every Tuesday right here on the Score North Twins show. You got to have a couple different clubs in the bag. You need to have something that's for you and it pumps you up and gets you excited. But you also need to have a little bit of the karaoke rule. You can't go up there and sing this ballad that only you know, right? Like, you got to go up there and sing a fan-friendly song that's going to get it going. I personally would use probably, and this is weird because I don't really identify with 80s music. I would, like, one of my first two options are either Rich Girl by Hall & Oates.
That's a great song.
Or Your Love by the Outfield, because it's just like, it's a good sing-along song, and it gets people pumped up. I understand the Green Day one. I think that one, there's a couple Green Day songs that I think I would probably also consider in the rotation. But it is hilarious to me, yes, what what does line up with a good the walk-up song that fits you and fits what the crowd wants to hear?
Who did your love for the Twins recently? Was that Josh Willingham?
Willingham used it, I think. Yeah.
That was a good one, which is also, and I'm not knocking this, so please take it for what it's for, what just the comment alone. Josh Willingham was a big Christian guy, man of faith. And then to use that song as your walk-up song, little contradicting, but still a great song. Declan, I think, you know, Carlos Correa hits a walk-off homer tomorrow. You're down in the locker room. I think first question has to be, did Bon Jovi do it for you?
Yeah.
I think that's what it'll have to be.
Making a mental note right now. I have all these notes that I write down on a Word doc throughout the game and throughout the season, and sometimes I just put a little sentence and then I put in parentheses, find out why. So I literally have written down, Carlos Correa, Bon Jovi, parentheses, find out why. I have to figure out what the heck's going on there, so it'll be interesting for sure.
I do have a question for you in closing, though, to circle it back to baseball. Again, we're talking just over 4% of the season. It's not like, boy, what year did the Twins start 0-9 and you knew the season was over
2016.
The season was over a week and a half into the year. I do think as the season goes on, the Tigers are still going to be the Twins' number one competition. I think there's a chance two teams in this division make the playoffs. One wins the division.
Interesting.
One makes it to the wild card. We'll see. I'm not convinced of that, but I think it's possible. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your panic meter right now? I'm only at like a 4. Mm-hmm. You could talk me up a little bit higher from the standpoint of I think the division is better than it was last year. So I don't think you can sleepwalk through 4 months of the season and still win it. And I think we've seen a tendency from this team to do that at times. But it's just, I get it. We harped on it for most of the show, the hitting, and it looks a lot like 2023. Yeah. Again, it's also 7 games. Like, I'm not going to bury them. There's going to be other times this season, Declan, even if the Twins are playing really well, they're going to go 3-4 over 7 games.
Right.
It's why you play 162 of these things. Good baseball teams that win 100 games are still going to lose 62 times, right? You're going to lose baseball games. So my panic meter is not super high, but I want to get a sense of yours now that you're around the club an awful lot more than I am.
I would say it's a 3, and 10 being the most panicked and 1 being not panicked. I would say it's a 3, and honestly, I could even put that at a 2. Now, individual performances, that could be a fun conversation of panic meter. Like Max Kepler, something isn't right here. Unless Matt Warner gets hit by a pitch, I don't know how the guy can get on base. There are some individuals that I'm concerned with from a team perspective, and this is where I think, you know, having really good 1-2 options, and I know there's only 2 out of the 5, but in Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, those are good options to have. Alex Kirilloff taking a step forward, Carlos Correa looking healthy and also taking some of the best at-bats. There are positives here, and you'd like to think that, hey, a couple hits, just a bloop and a blast, as simple as it says, you know, they could be 5-3. They could be look completely different. Not panicked yet. Now they're going to, to your point, they got the Dodgers coming to town Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. If you go for 22 and you go for 10 against the Mariners in scoring position, that's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, you're not winning games.
And I am, to be honest, I hate to be this person. I will not be enjoying sitting and watching that type of baseball. But I will say right now it's a 3. Probably check in next week and maybe that number goes down or goes up a little bit.
Well, and one other thing, and you touched on the starting pitching, and I'll leave it at that so we can both start to enjoy our WrestleMania weekends.
That's right.
The bullpen, bruised and battered, still looks pretty good. And I think we all thought the bullpen would be pretty good this year. So as guys start to come back and get healthier and giving Rocco more options and challenging the depth of who's on the big club and who's over in St. Paul, I think that could be an incredibly good asset to the team. I know we saw the note today. Theobar, I think, is pretty close. We'll probably see him on a rehab assignment pretty soon. I don't get as excited about him as others do, but it is still nice to have another left-handed option. And eventually, we think and hope we'll see Duran again, too.
Yeah. So hit that subscribe button. This is Minnesota Twins Extra Innings. My name is Declan Goff. That's Ross Brendel. You'll see him periodically throughout the week on Extra Innings content here. We'll have Extra Innings content after every Twins home game. Because Mother Nature is playing games, we'll see if there's an extra innings piece of content tomorrow. We'll certainly see if that's the case. But the Twins do lose today to the Guardians. The offense still kind of on a little bit of a snooze fest. We'll see what happens. But do hit that subscribe button. This is the Minnesota Twins, Score North Minnesota Twins extra innings content. We appreciate you guys liking, subscribing, and we'll be back next time. Thank you for listening.